Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Our pastor, who is on leave now, began this study and the material prepared by him. So I'm just going to conclude on what he started two Wednesdays ago. And he began to speak to us as the Lord helped him that the rapture and second coming has often been misunderstood by the church and by believers. Just like so many concepts, particularly on the issues of eschatology, the last things, the last days, have often gone misunderstood before a lot of people. But he said very clearly that the rapture is the taking up of the saints. It's the taking up of the saints. It is when Christ will come for the saints and every one of us will meet up with him in the sky. Then he did say that, but the second coming is when Christ will come with the saints. So the rapture, and of course that's what rapture is Christ coming for the saints. But the second coming, Christ will be coming with the saints. And 2 weeks ago here, it was established that according to the scripture, the event that the last trumpets we announce is the rapture. You establish that fact. We also went on to establish that the man who sounded the trumpet, relating it to the last days or to our today living, in respect to what can be found in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 18, the man who sounded the trumpet, we discover that the person who sounded the trumpet and who sounds the trumpet and will continue to sound the trumpet until the rapture is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is constantly with us, regularly with us, always with us, reminding us and convicting us of sin. So whenever we commit sin or whenever we do anything that contravenes God's purpose for our lives, the Holy Spirit prods our hearts. It comes like a gentle prod and just touches us. Now, this that you have done is sin. So he regularly convicts us of our sins. So that is what the person who sounded the trumpet in the days of Nehemiah, that's what it represents in our lives, as the Holy Spirit regularly calling our attention to the things that we are doing as we prepare for the second coming of Jesus. We progress further by establishing the fact that when rapture will take place, how would it look like? You know, even thinking about it, there are some things we imagine in our mind. That as we imagine, we just pray that if there will be a replay in heaven, let us go and see the replay in heaven. Because there will be no opportunity for us to stay back and be telling ourselves how it happened, apart from those who will not go. And I'm praying that we will not be among those who will not go in Jesus' name. And we establish that, how will it happen? And we discover from the scriptural passages that were given to us that it will happen in a moment. Just in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. You know, the twinkling of an eye cannot be said to be 1 second. The twinkle of an eye is almost like a millisecond, even if not less. Because even when you twinkle your eye, it's just in a moment, suddenly will be changed from mortality to immortality. We now began the fourth aspect upon which we are going to start again today. We started looking at, from our understanding of the scriptures, why will some people miss the rapture?
You know, if you and I will take time to think about these issues before us, it will be necessary for us to ask ourselves some questions. Why should I miss the rapture? If I have been exposed to all these things, why should I still miss the rapture? The reason why you are in church today is because you want to come and learn more about God. So why should you still miss the rapture? But unfortunately, some people, by the grace of God, not us here, or some, we still miss the rapture. I'd like us to look at Genesis chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. I am struggling to discover which passage Pastor ended with. So I will just pick about three passages there, hoping that he did not touch those three passages. Genesis chapter 19. We'll start from verse 16. Yes. Now, I like us to listen very carefully. The Bible says, when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and the two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you'll be swept away. From this passage, why will some believers miss the rapture? From this passage that we have read now, why will some believers miss the rapture? This was the account of God's dealings with Lot. So why would some believers miss the rapture? It's not very clear, Abby. All right, Dickness Emma. Sorry, they are not bringing mic, so just try and project. Yes, ma'am. Very correct. Very true. That is a general answer to that particular scripture. But if we now begin to look at every verse there, we now begin to see little issues that can make a believer to miss heaven and miss the rapture. The first thing is in that verse 16. We saw that the Bible said, when he hesitated. And I discovered that as Christians, one of the things that may make believers to miss heaven is our hesitation. Our hesitation to the matters of godliness and sin. You see sin all around you. You are still hesitating around it. Now, these were a people that God was trying to deliver from what could have finished their lives. But they were still around. They were still hesitating whether to go or not to go. Thank God for the way they were grasped and taken away. Do you know when a believer begins to hesitate around issues that can destroy him? If that believer does not watch it, he will not make heaven. You recall that Joseph was one child of God who refused to hesitate around sin. Sometimes there are issues that God is calling your attention to that are things that may destroy your life. But you are hesitating around it. Watch it. Those things are things we need to begin to pay attention to. I have come to discover, because God began to deal with me, that what will make a man miss heaven is not this general thing that most times, for many serious committed Christians and believers, it's not the general thing, because when they say, you say, I've done it, how did I come about that realization? It is the rich young ruler. The Lord said, go and do this. Say, Lord, all these things you are mentioning, I'm a serious Christian, I'm a serious believer. I attend Bible study, I attend Sunday school. All these things, I've outgrown them. I have finished, I've passed the school of all these things. Just guys looked at him and loved him. Truly, you are correct. But there is one thing you are lacking. And I discovered that there are some small issues, which are the things I'll be bringing out tonight. The very first thing is hesitation. There are things God is calling your attention to, that this matter is a serious matter. This thing, you call it nothing, but it's a serious matter. But you are still hesitating around it. You are still taking your time to romance yourself around it. The Lord is saying, if I don't quickly take you by force, this thing will hinder you from making heaven. And I saw it. It almost hindered these people from making it. God had to, they had to be quickly grasped and taken away. So maybe we may need to begin to ask ourselves, what are those things that we are hesitating around? And when you look at them, you find that God really wants you to leave those things. But you are still hesitating around those things. Watch it. Those are the kind of things that will disqualify a man and make him not to enter heaven. But in that same scripture, I still saw some things. In verse 17, the Bible says, as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Flee for your lives. Any man who has not flown, who has not chosen to run away from things that can destroy his life, is already preparing to miss rapture. Until you flee. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. The Bible is not silent on the matters of fleeing. The Bible is always very definite when it's talking about the matters of fleeing. So when you see a man who is hesitating and refusing to run away from what can destroy him, rapture may be an experience that such a person may miss. He said, but as you are fleeing, please don't look back. Are you seeing a third thing there that can make somebody miss heaven? The Bible says, they that look back. The Bible says, those who draw back, they don't have a place with the Lord. Maybe we need to ask ourselves a question tonight. Am I looking back? Are there things I have left that I'm still looking back to? Are there issues in my life that I have made up my mind though, that I'm going this way, but I'm still looking back? Each time I move, I still look back. I'm still attached to that thing. So when people see us, they are not very sure if we have truly left that thing, because we are still looking back at that thing. Those things are things that can make a man miss heaven. You know, when they look at us generally, they say, I know. You know, it was God trying to deliver this because he noticed that they were forthright. But even in their forthrightness, there were some small, small details that needed to be checked. Are we forthright tonight as a church? But there are some fine, fine details that we need to start checking. Are you still hesitating around sin? Have you refused to flee when God is saying you should flee? Have you refused to keep going and maintain focus, but you keep looking back? Those are issues that can disqualify a man. Can we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 6 to 11? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 6 to 11. All right. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in. Why? Because of their unbelief, disobedience. Therefore, God again sets a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. Now, from that scripture, what are the things that can make a man miss the rapture? From the scripture we just read. Disobedience, very correct. Disobedience, is there any other thing? I agree with that. Please, stand up, please. Microphone, okay, all right. Any other thing? Did you see any other thing apart from disobedience there? There are other things there. There are other things there. Sir? Please give Deacon. Sir? Eh? Who is talking? Please give him.
Not making effort.
Not making effort. Yes, that is there. That is there. And I'm going to relate to that if God gives us time. Not making effort is a point. But we're going to relate it. Please give Deacon Adekunle. Hardness of hearts. You know, there are some people that no matter what you say, they already know the answer before they came to church. They already know the answer. In short, even when they don't come with the answer to church, the moment they sit down and they see the topic of the day, they know the answer. So anything you say, you're just saying your own. They already settled as long as that matter is concerned. You preach morning, afternoon, night, nothing touches them. Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. It can disqualify a man from making the kingdom of heaven. And maybe sometimes we need to ask ourselves, is our heart hardened? Do people speak to you and you say you have made up your mind? Your heart is hardened. Can people find a way to navigate through your heart and make you change a position? We need to begin to check those issues that borders on hardness of heart. This is the way to go. And it is it. Even when you present a higher, or it doesn't change anything. Hardened heart. The Lord is speaking to you deliberately. You know that God is talking to you in this service. So, but you just make up your mind that it is the generality of the church. God can organize a service because of only Deacon and Ebi. God can organize a service. Say, today, I am coming to church because of Ike. Ike, there's a matter I want to deal with in your heart. But I will just sit down there and say, he's talking to everybody. No, God is talking to me, Ike. Hardness of heart. The third one you said, sir, making no effort. You see, the matters of making heaven is an effort too. The Bible wrote it there. He said, every effort will enter that rest. There are others who have come before us. They didn't enter. You think it's just easy? It is easier, I like to say it from the altar, it is easier to go to hell than to go to heaven. Am I correct? You know, some people will not agree with me, but am I correct? If you want to go to hell now, it's very easy. Just make up your mind, just go the other way. But if you want to, they who want to live godly in Christ, the Bible says they will suffer persecution. You have to go through a whole lot. You have to go through a whole lot. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. So it doesn't even matter. I've made up my mind. It is an effort. Those who don't make it can't make it. If you don't make it, you can't make it. You need to make up your mind and say, this one, no. There will be many people to distract me and to deter me, but I've made up my mind. You know, there are some people who are just out there to make you go to hell. But you must make that effort to make sure that you go to heaven. Going to heaven is not a collective thing. I can't say I will do something because this one is doing it. Nobody's talking. Then I will do it. I'm not ready for heaven. I must make up my mind and say, I'm not bothered whether you are doing it and they're not talking. I will live my own life to make every effort to enter that rest. If there was no effort to be made, Scripture will not say make effort. If making heaven was just to walk into heaven, he would have just said, those who missed it, I don't know why they missed it. You just walk into it. We have to make effort to enter it. It's a difficult thing, but the Lord will help us. Finally, on that, before we progress, is Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, there's another serious issue God wants to call our attention to. Verses 14 to 17. Hebrews chapter 12, 14 to 17. Bible is still talking about that making effort thing. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up
to cause trouble and defy many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought the blessing with tears. He could not change what had been done. You know, on the last day, that is how many people will cry. They will weep. They will cry. That song that said, "Oh no, had I known, gone, gone, the saints of God had gone. Gone, gone, they have gone. They have gone, marching to heaven, glory above. No, no, had I known." Many people will sing song when the Lord comes. "No, no, had I known." And I've been praying every day of my life. I don't want to sing that song. But many people will sing it. Pastors will sing it. Members will sing it. People who are not paying attention to these small, small fine details, they will sing it. "No, no, had I known." Is that, but that "had I known," we can deal with it now. What are those issues that we need to deal with so that we not sing that song? Did you see anything there? Okay, what did we see? Ma? I didn't hear you, ma. Please give a microphone.
Bitterness.
Bitterness! Ah! In short, I will need to sit with doctors on this issue of bitterness. Because I don't know what is making me feel that bitterness is also medical. I don't know what's making me feel that way, but I feel so. Dr. Ryanka, don't put your head down now. Doctor, I don't know what's making me feel that way, but I also feel it's medical. It has happened to me before, a long time ago, but I can't remember that experience. You know when something happened to you, even when you are small, if it really touches you somewhere, you will still remember, even 30 years after. There was a day something pained me. Since that day, nothing has pained me. It pained me. When it pained me, I felt it somewhere. Has it happened to any of you before? I know everyone will be holy now. None of you, have you? Ma? My brother. Yes, it's not only boy, you know. I felt it somewhere. I'm telling you. It was that day I came to know that this bitterness, when Bible says the root of bitterness spring, it will touch you somewhere. Meanwhile, the person you are angry with is just there enjoying his life. Maybe even the person is even recommending you for a job somewhere. Because the person just did it and moved. But you are there suffering. Root of bitterness causing sickness. Because I believe root of bitterness can cause sickness. You will just be sick. Was it Pastor who mentioned? I think Pastor Lawal. Pastor Lawal said it one time. He said he held something against somebody. The day he forgave the person was the day he became cured. How many of us remember? He said it. It's sickness. And there are many people who on that account will miss heaven. The Bible says root of bitterness. How I wish today. If there's anybody you have anything against, you can't settle. Because it holds nothing. You know, so that we say, "I have forgiven, I've moved on, it's okay, everything is all right." But you know you have put the person where he should be. You just stay, maintain your side. You know deep down within you, there is an issue. The Bible says the root of bitterness. We need to uproot it. We need to uproot it. There are many more there. What other thing? Anybody? They give dickness. Is it dickness? No. I know she knows all of them there. God bless you, ma. I appreciate that. When we finish naming all of them, we'll give you again to name the ones we can't find. All right.
Be at peace with all men and be holy.
As I look at that scripture, he said, be at peace with everyone and be holy. Please, church, can we discuss on this? Is it possible? Ma? Sir? There's no... Exactly. Is it possible? Very simple. Is it possible? Yes. But how easy is it? That is where the effort comes in. Because he said, live at peace with all men. And you were around. They came. They told you that this brother was the one who stood up at the church council and said, no, don't give him. Don't give him. Brother Dikpo, you. You are the one that stood against me at church council. And somebody came and told you it was Brother Dikpo that stood against you. And the next day you come up, Brother Dikpo say, good morning, brother. How will you answer to Brother Dikpo? Will you say, good morning, my brother? Is that what you say? Is you're having a problem now to this possibility now. It is the effort you need to make. And you give excuse for somebody. Say maybe in his understanding, he feels that thing can be delayed. In his understanding, he doesn't see the reason why we should do that now. Give reason for somebody. Give reason. If you give reason for why people do things to you or against you, you will find it very easy to live at peace with everybody. It's a long time I took that decision, though. You know my decision? My decision is that I have strong stance about what I want to do. And I will say it, and I will say it strongly, and that's my position. If you differ with my position, it's not a problem. I will not fight you. That does not mean that I will have issues with that. But I tell you, my relationship with you will continue. Even when I don't agree with your position, because it is not my position and I feel it's right. But my relationship with you is more important than that event. People of God, it is very difficult, but it is possible. Are there people you have issues with and you're not living at peace with them? After today, please go and make peace. Go and make peace. Go and settle. Really go and settle. And the Bible says with holiness. Because without it, no man will make heaven. Now, is there somebody the Bible talked about here? The Bible give us a subject here. Who? What happened to Esau? He sold his birthright. You know, Esau's issue is not just this issue. Esau's issue were issues that borders on so many other small, fine details. Esau went to go and farm. And when Esau came back tired, when he got home, he was what? Naturally hungry, right? And when he was hungry, what was Esau supposed to do? Esau went to Jacob, because Jacob is always cooking at home. And the moment Jacob was cooking, he said, Jacob, give me part of that porridge. What did Jacob say? Jacob said, I will not give you. He said, give me porridge. Give me this thing. He said, I will not give you unless you do what? You sell your birthright. What did Esau do? The Bible says, Esau said, what is this birthright to me? And he sold it. You know, sometimes one of the things that could be very costly in this eternity is when we commonize eternal issues. And I see it happen then, because that's another issue I saw there. Commonizing eternal issues. How can you equate your birthright to mere food? And I've seen a lot of people who have messed up their chances of making heaven because of food. I've seen our young girls who have messed up birthrights just because of recharge card. Just because of one small money. Our young men who have messed up their chances of becoming great in life just because of small food. And I've been asking a question. If you were Esau, couldn't you have done two of three things?
The first thing you could have done is to tell, go to Jacob and draw his ear. Draw it very well. When he starts crying, you know, say, you know, I drew your ear. I don't want to insult anything. You are something. Don't you know I'm your elder brother? I said, give me, come on. Even when you can't stammer. Give me food, come on, before I slap you. Will Jacob give him food? Most likely. Number two, maybe he doesn't want to go that path. He will just say, okay, you won't give me food, Abby. I'm coming. Mommy, I just came back from hunting now. And I said, let me eat. Jacob said he won't give me food. Mommy, who owns the food? I'm asking you now, holy people. Who owns the food? The mommy, whether you answer or not, she's the owner. She will say, Jacob, come on, give him food. And even if Jacob was preparing that food, especially for himself, the mommy will enter the kitchen and prepare the food for the family. Couldn't that have been a way to go? But once a man begins to commonize eternal things, you no longer mind. Even when you are committing sin, it doesn't mean anything to you again. If you recall how the Bible puts it very clearly in Genesis chapter 27, the Bible said, was talking about the way he did it. The Bible said he ate, he drank, he stood up, walked away, and despised his birthrights. When a man begins to commit sin, sin no longer means anything to him again. Even when the Holy Spirit is calling his attention, it no longer means anything. You say, what is food to me? I beg, give me food, let me walk away. I beg, give me food, let me go. Take the birthright. And he ate. He didn't know that he lost it. The Bible said, even when the father was not to bless him, Brother Billy Akoni is the one who got it. He said, when he went to Israel, he asked them, what is that lentil cell that he ate? I want to know the food this brother ate. He asked them in Israel, give me the food. They said, the food Esau ate? They said, yes. He said, have you cooked beans before? Say yes. He said, have you cooked beans and there was so much water? He said, yes. He said, then you now sieve it. Say yes. He said, that water is the food Esau ate. You can imagine what Esau sold his birthright for. Water of beans. I need also to answer a question. That those things that would disqualify us for heaven, are they worth it? When the Bible says when we get to heaven, there will be no more NEPA failure. You don't need generator to bring fume. There will be no more bad road. In short, the Bible said the road is gold. Not gold plated. Gold. Not 18 carats. You know the highest one? I don't know myself. That Bible said that's the street we are all going to walk on. How can I, because of water of beans? You see, imagine what? The Bible said the day the father was to bless him, the terrible things that happened, the father called him, say, go and bring this thing so that we bless you. Meanwhile, the mother had it. You know, the moment a man has messed up, everything in the world will begin to work against him. Why did the mother hear it? It's because he has sold it. And the mother said, Jacob, go and bring two kids. You know, he didn't even say, go and bring two goats. Small goats that has not gotten strong bone. He said, bring, I will cook it for your father. He said, mommy, I can't do that. If my father discovers, instead of blessing me, he will not curse me. The mother said, don't worry, keep quiet. Your father said he wants to eat the meat of deer. It's not the meat that gives him that taste that he thinks gives him the taste. It is the Maggi I used to put. I will cook it for him the way he likes it. That's what the Bible said. So he just went to the backyard, brought two small goats, and he killed it. And you know what? It was difficult for Esau to get the deer. But until Jacob collected the birthright, the Bible says Jacob was walking away, he came in. The moment a man begins to play with eternal issues,
he'll be experiencing near misses. And it will culminate to eventually missing the rapture. Please be careful. Let's be careful. Esau cried, but he didn't get it. Number five. I'd like to ask us, from your understanding of the scripture, what biblical event would follow the rapture? The moment rapture takes place, we have discovered that rapture is the Christ coming for the saints. Immediately after rapture, what is the next thing?
Marriage supper. The marriage supper.
The marriage supper. As it concerns the earth.
As it concerns what, sir?
Well, as it concerns the earth. Once after rapture, what is the next?
Okay, the great tribulation.
Okay. Sir, you said the great tribulation. The Antichrist will now be released to unleash his terror. As before Christ comes to take the church, the Antichrist will not be able to unleash his terror because the Holy Spirit will still be here to comfort and to keep. But the moment the church is taken and the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is taken, then the man of sin, the Bible called him the man of sin, will be released. Then tribulation will come. Do you know what will happen? Then you will see men running. There was a video I wanted to show us, but I couldn't get it. But it's a video that has gone viral. I am imagining those who will be in a plane, KLM flight, Virgin Airline, Delta Airline, Emirates, Air Morocco, those who will be in Arik, and those who will be in Aero, if Aero still flies. And you will see the captain being a born-again believer. Born again. And the moment Jesus is like, bam! The pilot has gone. And the assistant pilot has never flown before. The co-pilot. If you tell him to make plane to fly, he will make it come down. He's still learning. He'll be struggling with the plane. He said, he will be too confused as to what happened to the pilot. He still does not understand that rapture has taken place. And you'll be seeing plane coming down because the one who flew it has gone home. You will see more tanker drivers. You ask me, Pastor, tanker drivers, with the way they shout, are they sure they are ready for heaven? You can't be too sure. You see tanker drivers. You see tankers. Woo! You say, why is that man driving like that? No, he's not driving like that. He has gone. So the tanker is without control. So you will see all manners of chaotic order all over the world. You know why? Because the rapture has taken place. Christ has come to take the saints. So all the saints who were controlling moving objects had gone. So there'll be so much chaos. And all over the world, you'll be hearing news everywhere. We are looking for people. It will take time for people to know. Because even the few pastors, maybe, who will be left behind, I don't want to say many pastors, the few pastors who will be left behind will be too afraid to come and announce to their congregation, rapture has taken place. So if a pastor comes and announces that, what will you tell the pastor? Maybe it just happens now. Rapture doesn't take back. I know Reverend Mrs. will go. I know. Reverend, you have gone already. Reverend Bavala will go. You know, Pastor, from where he is, he will just go. He's closer. He's closer from there. He just go. And on Sunday, I will now come to church with microphone. I say, people of God, I'm sorry to announce the rust. It has taken place. They say, what has taken place? Even you who will be here to be hearing my announcements, why should you be here to hear that announcement? I've told some people, I said, I don't have many clothes. And God now did it. I'm not too tall. But those who can size my height, once I go, they can go and collect my clothes. My shoes that can fit, they let them go and wear. Would have gone home. then the Antichrist will now come, because there will be so much disorderliness in the world. Then the Antichrist will come as a man of peace. He will come like a man of peace to bring peace. Those first period of time before he will unleash the tribulation. So he will make a general world order under one single government. And everybody will align, because he will put a chaotic world under one single area of peace and unity. So everybody will align to him, because everybody is looking for a leader. Then he will now unleash terror. Bible called it 3.5 years of serious torment. In 3 different scriptures, he called it 42 months. In Revelation chapter 11 verse 2. In Revelation chapter 11 verse 3, he called it 1,260 days. And in Daniel chapter 12 verse 7, he called it a time, times, and half a time. So for 3.5 years, for those who will not go during rapture, they will now be struggling to also win salvation with their own blood, no longer with the blood of Jesus. Those days, people will look for death. They won't find death. They will saw the lives of men, leave them, and bring them back to life. The pain will be so much. Without the mark, you can't buy, you can't sell. Hunger will be so much. Oh, Jesus. Each time I think about it, I say, Lord, no, what you have done for me is enough. Let me go with this one. If you think about the second flight, you prefer the first flight. Even if you want to go to Abuja, or you want to go to anywhere, if you miss the first flight, second flight can be delayed. Abi? Authentic flight is first flight. Once you go there, you will fly. Second flight, they may postpone it to the next day. Don't miss the first flight. You ask the pastor, can you tell me the day of the first flight? Bible says, if Jesus Christ said with his own mouth, he said, I don't know. It is a day set by my Father. But he told us that when you see these things begin to happen, you know that the end of time is near. We have seen them. There is nothing, we are still, there is nothing, everything we have seen. Let's close. We'll close with 5 of the things we need to do if we will not miss heaven and if we will not miss the rapture. Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. Luke 21, 34 to 36. The Bible says, truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your heart will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close on suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. What are the things you need to do in order not to miss rapture from this scripture? What are the things? Nothing. We read it now from verse 34, 32. The very first one we saw in verse 34. In verse 34, the Bible was very, very clear. Be careful. You see, if there is any message we need to preach now, we need to preach the message of everybody, please be careful. If you used to live a careless life before, please be careful. Begin to be careful. Be careful.
So that your heart will not be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxiety of life. What is making you anxious? Things of this world. Be careful. Please be careful. Verse 36 says, be watchful. Be always watchful. So I plead with us, church. If you want to make heaven, if you don't want to miss the rapture, please be careful. I don't know why the Lord led our pastor to introduce us to this topic at a time such as this. If there is any time to be careful, if there's any time to be watchful, it is now. It is now. We have drawn so close to the end of the age like we have never been before. It is now so close. So close. So close. So close. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. I'd like us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read from verse 1. We'll read together. We'll read together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1. We'll read verses 1 to 12. Please, let's go. 1, 2, go. If I do not want you, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Please, let's stop there. The Bible said they ate from the spiritual rock. They drank from that rock. They did fellowship. They attended fellowship. When you say, who are those who attended fellowship? They were there. Who are those who are very serious in committees? They are the ones. The Bible says they were always there. They drank from it. They ate from it. They walked with it. They were under the shadow. They were under the rock. They were under the cloud. They were under the fire. They moved with it. But still, the Bible says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. You know, as we are here, as I'm here, I know the state of my mind. You know the state of your mind. Even though we are doing fellowship, even though we are doing church, you know, the church has become a place where men can hide sin. And we just come. Even with altar call, we say, no, I've been doing this since. But we know that God is not pleased with us. As we are seated, it would have been very good for us to ask a question. Lord, are you pleased with me? There's a songwriter who said it. He said, I am satisfied. I am satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus, but the question comes to me as I think of Calvary. Is my master satisfied with me? The question we need to answer is that even when we are satisfied, even when we do church, the much we are doing it, is our master satisfied with it? You know, many of us, we come to church, get many degrees, carry many certificates, attend many programs, chair many committees, be the president of many ministries. As a matter of fact, if heaven will weigh the committees you have led in church, it will be too many that heaven will not be able to finish writing even in the book in heaven. But the master is asking, nevertheless, I was not pleased with most of them. How can God say, I was not pleased with most of them? Lord, I wish you said I was not pleased with some of them. Most of them. Most of them. Lord, that's a failure. And as I'm standing, I'm asking God, are you pleased with me? Beyond my preaching. Is the Lord pleased with us? You know, just like Esau. The Bible said Esau cried for it, but he never got it. So I'm saying, God, before that time comes for me to cry and say, no, they have, had I known, let me cry now so that I will not cry later. So tonight, God will be giving us opportunity to make right the things that are wrong. So that we will not just do this teaching, So it will be on record that we thought about rapture. No. But to prepare men for where we are going to. You know, this place is not our home. It's not our home. We have not come here to, we have not come here to amass wealth. We have not come here to build towers, even though God has blessed us the riches of this land. And if God has blessed you, I'm happy for you. Enjoy it. But while you're enjoying it, make sure that you don't miss heaven. We are all pilgrims on a journey, passing through this world of pain. And until we get to heaven, we won't stop. Can you look at how the Bible puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58? 1 Corinthians 15, 58. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, the Bible says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Do you know three or four things we can pick up from here? Number one, Bible says, stand firm. Please, people of God, your salvation is not rested on any man. Your service with God is not predicated on the functions of any man. I've always told children, I've always told people, I said, look, when you are writing an exam, stop looking at your neighbor. Your neighbor may not know the answer. The best you can get is what your neighbor gets. And that is not the measuring stick. Write your own. Bible says stand firm. So even when people are doing their own things, you stand firm. When people are messing up like people are messing up today, you stand firm. Because when God comes to judge, he will not say, well, since you're in the Ikoyi Baptist Church and you were in this group, okay, we'll just judge you together. There's no judgment together. There's no judgment. There is no visa application as a group. You can't apply as a group. In this one, Bible says every man will stand before God one by one. You enter, come in. And I go, I stand. I will not say, my wife, please come now. My wife, come now. I won't call my wife. Everybody will stand one by one and take judgment for the things that he has done in the flesh. Stand firm. Let's stand firm. Not only are we expected to stand firm, but Bible says, let nothing move you. Things will happen in this world. Bible says, let nothing move you. People will come out and they say they are the Christ. Bible says, it should not move you. People will come out with their own vain philosophies. Bible says, you, don't let it move you. People will be committing sin, all manners of sin. Bible says, but you, don't let it move you. You, your own, stand firm. If there's a time to stand firm, it is now. Don't let it move you. Not only that, don't let it move you. Bible says, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. When I saw this part, I said, wow, this is interesting. It's interesting to know that even God's expectation now for us to make heaven is to give ourselves to the service of the Lord. People of God, one very easy way for you to also progress your work with the master and make it easier in making heaven is to get involved in the service of the Lord. How will you be in evangelism? Every time you are carrying Bible, every time you are doing this, every time this, you are closer to God. You are gradually coming closer to God. So many things will begin to drop gently, gradually. And I tell myself, I say, okay, if you go to hell, no apology to anybody. You know, because Sunday till Wednesday at least, I come to church. I sit in the office. The church says, Pastor, take Bible, be reading. All I do is stay in the church, in the office, read Bible, pray, prepare spiritual things for the ministries under me. No other thing I'm not thinking about. I'm not thinking about one container that is on the high sea. I'm not thinking that it's about to collapse. I'm not thinking about it. All I'm thinking is how to, and at the end of these things, you will still pay me salary. How will somebody pay me salary to be spiritual and I'll still go to hell? I don't have a reason not to go to heaven. So Bible says, get committed in the service of God. It will be more difficult for you to miss rapture. If every day all you do is church, I'm married to Jesus, Satan leave me alone. I'm married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. My husband is coming to take me away. Oh, praise His holy name.
The next day, you carry again. You are getting.
I'm married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone.
In the morning, afternoon again.
I'm married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone.
In the evening.
My husband is coming to take me away. Oh, praise His holy name.
Who is that person? Can make you miss heaven. Can we tie this teaching to an end by asking ourselves a very important question? If heaven releases the last angel to blow the last trumpets here and now, how many of us will go? You know, it's easier to say it. It's easier for us to say, okay, let's ask questions. And by the time we are asking questions, we have suddenly forgotten that the reason for this study is to remind us that so many of us are drifting away so quickly, and Jesus is still coming so quickly. The more we are drifting away, the Lord is coming. It is not reducing or stopping the pace at which He will come. Our husband is coming to take us away. If the Lord comes now, we will have an empty pulpit because the pastor would have gone. But we will have an empty pew of a pastor preaching to people the things he has not conquered. Can you bow your heads?
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakadir Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.